Appreciate the opportunity to be able to talk to you some this morning. My name is Tony Barker. I'm from the Indianapolis area. It's been a while since I've been here. Steve and I came down together, and I knew the last turn. I said, well, now we're waiting for that dirt road, right? He says, no. He said, they paved it. He says, Marvin worked on them, and they paved it. I said, well, wow. You know, I have a hard time remembering specific dates and different things, but it was nice seeing that big double-lane road running right into town. And the last time I was here in Vandalia, it was before the pave era, so it's been a while. Appreciate so much the comments of the teachers before and all the work, especially the work here of the congregation to put this on. I thought the lessons have been exceptional. Things that I can follow, and I have a hard time following anymore. But they did a real good job of putting things together and running the verses together, and I appreciate that so much. There's been a lot of comments on age, and that was something that other people used to do. But it's come to roost home right here with me now. Comments on how quick time goes. It just seems like yesterday I was running around with several of the people here going to meetings. But that has changed. Now my kids have done that, and we're looking forward to my grandkids possibly doing that. But, we try to fight against that. I can remember it just seems like yesterday I was looking in the mirror, trying to pluck those white hairs from my head to add as much time as possible before I see these signs of age kicking in. But now I'm looking for those white hairs. I want to glue them back. We have... You know, the winter scene on top of head's not too bad, but the desert is creeping in pretty quick. So. But anytime as you get older, different things change, your perspectives change. And I've noticed that my mom and dad used to just love to eat out, love to go over to places and eat, and I've become my mom and dad. As you get older, you begin to get a refined taste for the greater assortment of flavors and textures of food. And if you put that in layman's terms, you begin liking everything. And everything starts showing up in different areas of your body also. So in fitting away, we're going to begin the lesson with a food analogy. I think we've all have our favorite foods, and I have a fancy for soups. And one of the soups that I like really well is vegetable soup. The nice thing about vegetable soup is wherever you go, it's different. It's always different. There's different things put in. They put in things that I can't believe that's in vegetable soup. But they always, or most of the time, they're pretty good. You have your standard things like corn, potatoes, green beans, and peas, and carrots. And you stick those in there, and then you have all these other things that show up at times. Squash, peppers, black-eyed peas, black beans, tomatoes, onions, mushrooms, broccoli, garlic, lima beans, lentils, soup beans, white beans, okra, sugar pea pods, cucumbers, celery, beets. Just all kinds of different things. But they end up tasting pretty good. You got all these different vegetables. And I remember as a kid, I didn't like a lot of those. Lo and behold, you put this in a soup and you mix it with different things, and it's not bad. It's pretty good. And one of the most important parts, I think, of the vegetable soup is the broth. It is the broth that you bring in, and usually you either have beef or possibly even chicken broth or even turkey or whatever. But it's the broth that simmers the vegetables and all those vegetables that have different flavors, that have different tastes, that have different textures. And it simmers them together in such a way that when you take a bite, it's something that's a delight to the taste. In a good vegetable soup, you can pick out an individual vegetable. I remember picking out potatoes. And when you take that potato, you get the strong sense of what a potato tastes like, but also you get a little bit of carrot, a little bit of celery, a little bit of tomato, a little bit of onion, all in that potato. And I think we've all have probably sometime or another had some bad vegetable soup. And often it's oriented to the broth or to the base that is called. If you ever had weak broth with vegetable soup, it's like a bunch of vegetables in hot water. And usually you don't ask for seconds when that happens. If it ends up being undercooked or overcooked, you get a pretty quick understanding of that. But it's interesting that really a lot of the secret of vegetable soup is in the broth and the way it's cooked. Now, in sharing all that, this morning's lesson, not on a local review of soups, this morning's lesson was on cross training. And specifically, some of the direction that I was given is to explore the possible unique blessings of relationships between the elder people and the younger. What blessings can each offer to the other? And how can the church harvest those blessings? And it was given this a couple months ago, and you know, you start thinking about it. What are you going to talk about? What are you going to say? And lo and behold, about 3 or 4 weeks after that, I came up with a thought that I wanted to incorporate into this, but I didn't know how I was going to incorporate into it. And it's in the title, cross training. And I just didn't see it. And I thought, well, we'll use that. And I'm going to take a liberty and venture just a little outside of the request of the area you're supposed to cover. And I'm going to use the same liberty that many songs take when dealing with this subject. One of the songs says, I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And that's not talking about a cross. You know, if I was talking about a cross, we'd have crosses in our yards. We'd be hanging close to those crosses we have around our necks. We'd be paying special homage to those crosses on our walls. But it's talking about the life of Jesus Christ and the ultimate sacrifice that he paid for us. And that's a training that hopefully we're all involved in, that cross training. And, you know, I've been a Christian for 39 years, and I've partaken of the Lord's Supper probably over 2,000 times. And, you know, by this time it seemed like I'd have it down, what the cross of Christ really means to me. But, you know, it's something that, for me, I never get a handle on. Jesus' humility, love, and devotion to God and to us is at times just, at all times, beyond my comprehension. You know, you would think of somebody that would have had a handle on it, and we've talked, several speakers have talked about him, is the Apostle Paul. You know, most of the letters in the New Testament are written by him. He went on all these missionary journeys, and much of the New Testament is somehow associated with the Apostle Paul. And it's interesting, though, in the book of Philippians, at the beginning of the book, it refers to Paul being in chains, and that was really toward the end of his ministry. It's when he went to Rome, and not too much long after that, he was going to be put to death. But he wrote the book of Philippians while in chains, while at the end of his ministry. He'd already gone through his missionary journeys and done all that. But in that book, in the third chapter, verses 10 through 14, he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. That's Paul talking about that at the end of his life. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There's no doubt I think Paul is looking forward to his death here. But in essence, he's saying, I've got a lot more room to grow. It would be anything in the essence of cross-training than in Paul's life, it should have been complete. But if you read that, you would think that'd be something he would state right after the road to Damascus, after his conversion. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the 14th chapter, a book written by Paul, talks about a group of people that were having a lot of struggles. They lived in a city that did not have very many ethics, a lot of vices, and they were struggling to exist in a church there that Paul had set up. And they sent him a letter, it looks like, and asking a bunch of questions. And Paul is addressing a lot of those questions. And in the 12th verse, they're talking about spiritual gifts. And Paul talks about the different things, and they talk about tongues and the interpretation of tongues, healing, the different aspects and different gifts that were given at those times. And it seems like at that time, and it seemed to be the problem throughout the book of Corinthians, that they wanted to make discernment between each other. They wanted to distinguish between each other which one was more important, which position was the more important position. They kind of focused on themselves and what they had and compared it to the other people that were in the church. And then 12th and then the 14th chapter, he goes back and he speaks to it even more. And, of course, there wasn't chapters in the Bible when it was read, but it happens at 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, which is often read at weddings. But it's really meant for Christians, but especially true for people who are looking to get married. He talks about love. And just in the book of Esther, where God's name is never mentioned, in that chapter I just see Jesus Christ. Just see Jesus Christ so full in what it states there. You see, Jesus is the perfect interpretation of what the Scripture is trying to tell us. He lived it. And I just see it so much. And he places that right in there. He says in the end of the 12th chapter, he says, now I want to show you a more perfect way. I want to show you a more complete way. And he talks about love. He says, this is the important thing. Those other things where you're having problems and things, get this in your life. And it's going to take care of it. You need to know what Jesus done for you. Jesus is the one that has defined that. He's the one that understands it. The effort of Corinth, the big thing there was, it was important to be important. And Paul was fighting with the fact of changing that attitude there at that church. In the book of Colossians, it talks about clothing ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and forgiveness. And all those things, it sounds like if we get a handle on those, we got it down. Those are good things to have. Those are good aspects of Christianity. Those are good traits we should have in showing to the world. But in the 14th verse of that third chapter of Colossians, it says, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Which binds them all together in perfect unity. Cross-training. Understanding and grasping what Christ did for us. Never, never get a handle on that. Striving and trying all the more to get a better understanding. They may affect our lives. Cross-training, a constant yearning and desire to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ. That's a four-dimensional love. We live in three dimensions in this life. That's a four-dimensional love. Its capacity is beyond what we understand. And looking at the analogy of the soup, we talked about the broth. The broth was the thing that brought all these distinct aspects of vegetables together, all those things that aspects of it, the taste, the textures, the different things, and it brings them together so they blend so well, so they make a flavor and an aroma that is pleasing. Cross-training. It is the broth that represents that soup. It is the thing that pulls things together. So when we interact as the church, so we interact as Christians with our different capabilities, our different talents, our different characters, we can intermesh so that we can start tasting and looking like each other in our presentation of God to the world and in our sacrifices to God through our lives. Cross-training is at the basis, I think, of all things, but especially in the aspect of cross-training that we're going to be looking at now. Cross-training in the essence of one group looking at another that have differences. The young have different goals, have different aspects than the old. And there's challenges when you look at cross-training. I think anybody involved with a business or involved in businesses have probably had an endeavor or an effort to do cross-training. And when you bring that up at a meeting, people have problems with that. See, cross-training takes effort, and I'm already filled up in my job. I don't have time for anything else. It takes effort. Cross-training may take you out of your comfort zone. I just want to do what I know. This is what I know. I want to do that. I don't know this over here. I don't want to have to listen to what they have to say, and I don't want to have to teach them what I do. I do what I do, and I do it well. Why? We may not see a reason. It's a challenge to cross-training. What's the reason for this? I know my job. Why do I have to learn what other people may be doing? What's the benefit to that? I'm satisfied. I'm performing for the company. So we have those challenges when people are given the opportunity to cross-train. But then there's benefits. In the essence, cross-training provides worth, not only to the person that's doing the training, but to the person that's receiving the training. You're worth spending time to go make an effort to learn more. Looking in the business world. And in the training, you're worth understanding what you do so that hopefully I can expand what I do. I can serve the business in which we're at better. And sometimes it provides surprising insights. I don't know if any of you ever watch Undercover Boss. I really like that show. It talks about a person that's a CEO that's ahead of a large company. He'll go down and work among the lower areas of his company. Checkers, I think Jim went and worked in a couple restaurants or one place that sold merchandise, and he worked in a couple of the warehouses, and it's kind of amazing. They try to do that, and they have a camera crew with them, and they kind of pitch that camera crew as something that maybe for training purposes or something. And they struggle at that job, and they interface with the different people, and it's really interesting what comes out of that. Using about all those instances is really an emotional thing. But in most of those cases, the CEO, you would think would have a good grasp of everything going on in the company, comes back and there's usually a policy change based upon the things he's learned from the lay people down at the very end of the line. So with that and cross-training, may we have those benefits and face those challenges and take those on. And mainly these things are within ourselves, and may we overcome them so that we can get the benefits involved with that. The other aspect I like to look at is youth. Youth is a relative term. We have many older gals there at our church, and I like going and speaking to them because they refer to me as a young man. No class that I teach would ever refer to me as being a young man. But in a relative aspect, they consider me to be a young man. And that's all I got to say. I say thank you, and I try to keep them from saying too much more because I'm sure I would fall down from that high. But in looking at youth, I think in the aspect of the subject, we're probably looking at a set age group, maybe 1 to 25 or so. I think it's at the age of 30 that your body officially, I think, begins to die. It's when your cells that are growing are overcome by the cells that are dying. Now, we may want to talk to some of the medical people. Why do we gain weight after that? But that's supposed to be, I think, around the official time that we officially start dying. And at age group from 1 to 25, so much changes that happen in that short period of time. Infants, toddlers, preschool, preteen, teenagers, young adults. And there's such a wide range of individuals that we could work with there. And it's such a wide range of character and characteristics that we can deal with. And looking at cross-training, if we look at the very young, we can't instruct them to come and say, you need to talk to the older folks and tell them what you're doing. We have to find ways in which we can groom what they do. And as Dave pointed out last week, they're an important group. They're an important group. These are the same verses, I think, that Dave referred to in his lesson, Matthew 18, 1 through 6. It says, at that time, disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child and said to him, stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like his child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. Jesus expects us, and God expects us, to be humble as little children. The character of little children expressed through Jesus is something that we need to emulate in our walk. We will not enter the kingdom of heaven without doing that. Without having a handle on that. Mark the 10th chapter, verses 13 through 16, says, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked him. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Humility and devotion of the young. At times, their dependency and loving devotion to those around them are what God expects from us. Simple things that mean so much. We need to look for ways to try to include them so that we can get a better view of what those children do. So we express those traits that are so critical to God. You know, at times, and just in the case here with the apostles, I find myself in that, you know, kids, you need to get over here. We got adult stuff to talk about here. We don't have time to really deal with what's going on. And there's times I think where, you know, we need to do that. But to do that all the time, you know, we're missing out on a treasure that is afforded to us, is sitting there amongst us. Now, how many of us can relate to children after we punished them, come back and crawl up in your arms and ask that you hold them? You just don't see that very often in adults, do you? Some of those traits we need to look and view. At our church, we have the opportunity in the afternoon service to bring the kids down, and they do a memory verse and sing a song. And I remember when I was involved with that, I just kind of thought that was a waste of time. But as we do that more and more, I'm seeing the benefits of it. When I look out, and I have the opportunity, Steve and I trade off for different months, I have the opportunity to help lead them. When I look out among the congregation, it's amazing the attentiveness of the people and watching the kids. And I wish they paid attention to that when I spoke. But they're really, really focused. I was really surprised at how attentive they are to what the kids say. And they come up with things, and you got little kids who can barely talk that are saying memory verses. And you hear the congregation, there's a sigh that comes up from the adults, just an appreciation and honor of those kids and what they do. And the kids are just loving it. They're part of the congregation. They're part of the service. They go up there, they're able to sing, and the adults sing with them. They're kind of leading the adults in that. They're able to stand up front and do that and look out. And I think it's a real good opportunity. And the blessings that come from that cross-training, is a little more than I thought. And may we always look for other ways in which we can do that also. And the not-so-young, those who are seeking to be independent, you know, there's some challenges there. I know there's challenges, at least in my life, in dealing with that. But you know what? Those are the ones that haven't been beaten down with some of the realities of life. The things that they may share for us, the things they may indicate to us are pure. And sometimes we don't give them enough opportunity, enough time. We don't delve into some of the things they ask, in which we should. Another aspect of that is the way things are changing. I think in the last 100 years or so, things have changed more than all of past history. You know, history before 1800 or before 1900 was pretty well the same. People mainly farmed. They used animals. They got their crop. They brought it back and forth. Sometimes they had a business to deal with all that. But things were pretty well the same. Things have changed so much in the last 120 years. Business and the world in which we do is totally different. These days, we have grandparents going to their grandkids for their tech support. Get this phone to work. Can you get those addresses in there on that? Well, I've never used it before, and they got it. They've grown up with it, you know. And we got to watch that we don't demonize. It's usually the conservative part of society that demonizes new things. We got to watch that we don't demonize these things. These are things that are just tools. Just like a tire iron can be used to take a tire off and replace a flat tire, can also be thrown through a window or beat a man. It's not the tire iron that's good or evil. It's how we use it. In the essence of tools that are before us, the young have got a handle on it. And those tools are going to be used in the furtherance, if those tools can be used in the furtherance of the church. Or we don't have to. And I think we'll be missing an opportunity that's afforded to us. It would be really good. I think one of the most important things we can do as older gentlemen, and I tried to think back when I was young, what was the thing that left the most impression on me. And I enjoyed the trips. I enjoyed the opportunities that the church gave us. And it really wasn't a specific thing. It was more of all those things in one. That impressed me about the older folks and made me want to listen to them, to gather the insights from experience that they may have. The thing that impressed me most is when I was young, I was impressed with the actions of a man that supported his speech. That was someone to listen to. When they talked to me about doing something and that you really need to be this way, and then when I would see them and they would act that way, that added a lot of credence to what they shared with me and made me want to listen and understand. Titus, the second chapter, verses 6 through 10, it says, "Similarly, encourage young men to be self-controlled in everything. Set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing to say bad about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way it will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive." I think that's the key. We, in dealing with each other and dealing especially with the youth in the church, may we in every way make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. And part of that is living the life and walking the walk and sharing with and taking the time to share. One thing at Chapel Glen, we have some individuals that are real good listeners. I'm not that good at that. And that's a great talent for the kids. And you see the kids blossoming from that. And you see who they talk to. Strive to be a better listener. In essence of the church, I really don't have anything specific on things we can do. I think the big thing in cross-training is never think you have that cross training down, the aspect of the cross of Christ and what Jesus did for us. If we keep working on that, we'll have that broth that makes those different types of individuals work well together. But also look for things. Take opportunities. Be open. Be open to things that you can do to incorporate the kids as much as you can in the service. Be open to things outside of just our standard classes and things like that. Be open to the possibilities. Maybe orient a whole service to one age group. And have the older as well as the younger have different things that they can provide. But look for the opportunities where we can benefit from each other, where there's going to be a huge benefit from that cross training. Thank you so much for your time.